I met some wonderful people as I was walking around a little bit before service today and shaking hands. Several of them are back, second and third, fourth, fifth visits. And we're just excited for all of our return guests as well, aren't we? Amen. It's good to have Christina with us, a guest of Tanya. Christina, could you come up? No, I'm kidding. Where's she at? Oh, she went to the nursery. She was so scared I was going to call her up when she was filling this form out. Anyway, we had a laugh about it out there in the vestibule. Christina, it's great to have you. Well, that's Christina and Jalen, guest of Tanya. And then we have Lucas, guest of Stephen Davila. We have Amanda with us here today. Dwight Williamson is here. Now, is this junior or senior? Junior, where's Dad? Oh, right next to him. And Dad, just last week, got baptized and prayed through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? Amen. You got a son here concerned about his dad. Dad hungry for God. And his boy got on the phone. He wouldn't get off. He kept calling and bugging us. Have you got to him yet? Don't quit on him. You got to. And here's Dad full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name because somebody cared. Amen. And Sharon Rhonda? Sharon Rhonda? Something real close to that. Is that your wife? Oh, your daughter, his sister. Okay, I'm sorry. No problem. Glad to have you. And Tabernacle of Pentecost, are you excited about our guests? Come on, let them know. Father, bless them, touch them mightily in the power of the Holy Ghost. Provide their every need today as I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone say amen. All right, let's get right into the word of the Lord while you're turning to Genesis chapter 28. We're going to start with verse number 10. I do want to remind everyone here today about the prayer line. How many are joining the prayer line between 6:30 and 7 o'clock? Let me see some hands out there. Amen. That's awesome, awesome. About 30 of us. Listen, that can grow. I think it should have been in this week's bulletin as well. Does anybody know? Is it on the back? So on the back of your bulletin, please read the instructions. And listen, all you have to do is get out of bed at 6:29 and then dial in that number, dial in the code. And you'll be connected to a line where there's about 40, 50 of us praying and seeking God. You'll hear all the voices. I'm telling you, it's powerful, folks. It takes a couple of times to get used to it, but after you get used to it, it's just like being in a room with them and feeling the glory of God. I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord will come down on you and so powerfully. We take prayer requests. There's an email there. Send your prayer request to that email, and we will stop during the prayer, take a few minutes to name a few prayer requests and pray about them. It's powerful. Our goal is that this eventually becomes a 24-hour prayer line, that at any time during the day you can pick up the phone, call that number, and there would be someone on that line, a moderator, with another 10 or 15 people praying and seeking God 24 hours a day. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! How many of y'all know that everything that happens here started in a prayer room? Nothing happens out here that didn't start in a prayer room. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 28. We're going to take another little break today from our theme this year. And we're going to minister what I feel the Lord has laid upon my heart. It's Pastor Armin. Did Pastor Armin make it today? Pastor Armin, where? Where? Right over there. Pastor Armin, God bless you, you and your precious wife. Moving down from somewhere up north, from Indiana, trying to remember, and had a few conversations on the phone with Pastor Armin. Wow, I love your spirit, brother, and look forward to getting to know you. Let's give Pastor Armin a hand. Great to have him in the house of the Lord with us here today. Look at your neighbor and say, thou has prevailed. I want to tell you, the devil wants to make you think that you're a loser. He wants to make you think that you've accomplished nothing in your life. When you, especially my elders, I want you to listen to me today. My precious, precious elders, we get older and we can see that we've got fewer years left than we had upon this earth. The devil would love to convince you that your life meant nothing. But I'm here to tell you and everybody in this building, the very fact that you're here today lets me know you have prevailed. Elder from Summit. Edit. Where you at, Edder? Bless you, man. God bless you. Good to have you. You have prevailed, Edder. Genesis 28 and 10. And Jacob went out from Bethesda and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. Everybody say the sun was setting. And he took the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows. Listen, it's a rough day when rocks become your pillow. That's when you know it's been a rough day, when a rock feels soft to you. He took rocks, gathered them, made pillows out of them, and laid down in that place to go to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, and the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, the east, to the north, the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Everybody say the promise. And behold, I am with thee. Everybody say assurance. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. Everybody say he's going to bring him back. And I will not leave thee until I have done. I love that. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You got to get a hold of that. God's made you some promises. And I'm here to tell you today, he will not forsake you until he has done what he promised he will do. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, I come to break the devil's back today. I come to beat him up in the Holy Ghost today. And Jacob woke up out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Turn over with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 32. Just a few more verses. And we're only going to spend a few minutes here preaching here today, but we are going to shout and love Jesus, and we are going to leave this place today with victory, and we're going to know that we are not failures. We have prevailed, and we are going to continue to prevail in God. And Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled there a man with him the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, the angel prevailing not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And the angel said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, or the angel said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast prevailed. Look at your neighbor and say, you have prevailed. Listen, not past tense, not future tense. Right now, you have prevailed. Oh, you don't believe it. Shout out, I have prevailed. Shout it, I have prevailed. Lord, bless the preaching of the word. Touch our hearts and our minds. Everybody shout amen. As you're being seated, clap your hands to the Lord. A little bit more clap of praise. Will you do that to Jesus? Hallelujah. Now, every one of us, if someone comes up to you and begins to talk about Jacob, the character in the Word of God, the son of Isaac. If they begin to talk about Jacob to you, in your mind will come the definition: deceiver, supplanter, liar, stealer, cheater, runner, man of fear. Well, maybe that's the reason why God changed his name, by the way. His name's no longer Jacob. It's now Israel. And when you study the Word of God, the only people that ever call him Jacob again are his family or his enemy. But when God addresses him, it's always Israel. Listen, your family may never accept that you're an overcomer, and the devil will always tell you that you're a loser, but I'm here to tell you today, when God filled you with his Spirit and baptized you in his name, you became a son of God. You became victorious in the power of the Holy Ghost. You are no longer what you used to be. The old man has died. A new man has been born. I am victorious in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if you're hearing the old name, it must be the devil. If you're hearing the old name, it must be the flesh. If you're hearing the old name, it must be your enemy. Because when God talks to you, he's going to call you by the name he gave you when you came into the kingdom. He's going to address you in power and authority. All right, I'm glad nine of us got it. Clap your hands to the Lord, all nine of you. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing my name called by the devil. I'm tired of being told by others what I cannot do. Jesus, I wait on you. Whisper my name, because when you do, I feel power. I feel, oh God, anointing. I feel victory. I feel an overcomer when God talks to me. Because I'm going to tell you what, when God changes your name, he don't ever go back to the old name. When he does something, it's complete. He said that he will finish the work that he began in you. Can you shout amen? Amen. One more time, stand at your feet. Will you do that real quick? I know you just got settled, but that's what church is all about. All you pretty girls on that row there, come on. All you pretty girls. Come on. That's good. There we go. That's good. Thank you, brother. That's good. I made one of my guests stand. That's good. Okay. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you have prevailed. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. I want somebody to leave here today believing that. Quit letting the devil talk to you. Quit letting the enemy talk to you. Quit letting those out there that don't believe nothing talk to you. God redeems you. God sets you free. God has brought you up out of the miry clay and put your feet on a rock to stay. Shall I have prevailed? Shall I have prevailed? Lift your hands to the Lord and praise him right now. You feel that anointing? That's God calling you by your new name. You feel that power? That's God calling you by the name he gave you. Okay, you can be seated. Woo, I feel something in this place. When we think about Jacob, we think about cheater, supplanter, huh? But listen to me, the very name that was given to him, he didn't choose it. It was given to him by his mother at birth. He didn't come out of the womb saying, I want to be a cheater. I want to be a liar. Listen, Jacob did not steal the birthright. Tell your neighbor, Jacob did not steal the birthright. Tell him, he bought it. Now, granted, he got it pretty cheap. He bought it with a bowl of lentils. But that's not Jacob's problem. That's Esau's problem. In fact, can I tell you something here today? The devil cannot steal your salvation. You have to sell it to him. You better hear this, preacher, today. I said the devil can never steal your salvation. He can never take it. The world can't take it. No. The government can't take it. Education can't take it. Money can't take it. The adversary can't take it. The only way you can lose your birthright, the only way you can lose your salvation, is if you sell out. Tell your neighbor, buy the truth and sell it not. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Tell your neighbor, God help the preacher. He didn't steal the birthright, he bought it. And remember, it was Esau who the Bible said despised his birthright. Jacob did not even voluntarily go into his father to deceive him. He was coerced and persuaded by his mother to do so. And if you will study the life of Jacob, you will find, friend, that Jacob is the one that brought revival back to Israel when he returned. Now listen to me close. This closely parallels with the Gentile nation or the Gentile race. Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you a Jew? Did they answer you? Would they tell you? No. Then look at them and say, then you are a Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And this life of Jacob parallels the life of the Gentile people. You see, we didn't ask to be born alienated from God. We didn't ask to be born in sin. But Psalms tells us in Psalms 51 and 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And even though it was the Romans who were Gentiles, even though it was at the Romans' hands that crucified the Lord, it was the Jews who pleaded and demanded that it be done. We did not steal the blessings of God from them. A man by the name of Cornelius, the Bible says, prayed until Peter was sent. And on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 was the Holy Ghost poured out, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And we've been living in this glorious way for over 2,000 years. And I got news for you. It's the Gentiles. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. That is bringing revival to this world. And it is the Gentile nation that is going to continue to bring revival to this world. Now give me just a couple of minutes here today. In our text, we look into the Word of God and we find Jacob in a very peculiar situation. We find him in extremely difficult circumstances. He is being threatened by his brother Esau to take his life. It's the reason why he is on the run. He is running out of fear for his life. But you know what really put Jacob on the run? It was his desire for the good things of God. You see, Jacob, watch me now, Jacob was not satisfied to get a secondhand hand-me-down blessing from his father. You see, as the second born, all the main blessings were going to go to Esau as the firstborn. Jacob was just going to get what was left over. But there was something in Jacob that said, I don't think so. I'm not satisfied with a little secondhand blessing. I'm not satisfied with just a little sermon or a little touch of God. I want the best my father has to give. I want the birthright. I want the healing. I want the deliverance. I want the power. I want the anointing. I want the glory. Lord, I wish somebody would help this preacher preach today.
And friend, I want to tell you, he was not satisfied with the status quo. And that's how I feel today. And that's how you ought to feel here today, even if you're already filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the name of Jesus. There ought to still be a hunger on the inside of you that reaches out for the best of God.
Listen to the preacher. And if you're here today, and you've been told all your life, the Holy Ghost isn't for you. You can't have it. It's just for the disciples. It was only for the 120 in the upper room. It was just for those 3,000 that got it on the day of Pentecost. It's not for you. You can't have it today. You know what they're really telling you? That you're a second-born child, and you don't have the right to the first-born rights of the Father. But I'm here to tell you, you're feeling something in this place here today. I know you are, because I feel it. And there's something saying inside of you, this is better than anything I've ever had. This is greater than anything I've ever experienced. This is more powerful than anything that's ever touched me in the house of God. I've come to preach to somebody today. You don't have to settle for second best. Don't let the religious world tell you that all you can have is a little bitty touch of Jesus. Don't let the religious world tell you that you cannot have his power, that you cannot have his spirit. Don't you let the religious world preach to you. Don't you let those preachers tell you the Holy Ghost, it's not for you. The Bible says, or whosoever will, let them come. And the Word of God says the promise is for you, your children, those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I've come to tell you, you can be the firstborn of God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. Tell him, I am not satisfied. I will not be satisfied with secondhand blessings. I won't. The best the Father has to give. Whew. All right, let me try to get to my message. So Jacob is in a peculiar situation. I don't have time, of course, to go through all of the life of Jacob's, his 21 years. It would take us forever to do that. He's in a land called Luz, which means separation. Genesis 28 and 11 tells us that when Jacob put those pillars together, those rocks, excuse me, I'm sure he at least folded his coat and maybe put the coat on the rocks and his head upon the coat. Then again, I don't know, maybe he felt so bad about himself that he thought suffering on the rocks might help a little. I'm not sure. But the Bible tells us that when he laid his heads upon those rocks, that the sun was going down. I think it is trying to exemplify to us, express greatly to us, that Jacob was in a very difficult place. He was in a place called Luz, which means separation. He was separated from the love of his father, the love of his mother. He was separated from his brother, who now hated him, but he was still his brother. Separated from his kinfolk, all that he knew. everything that was familiar to him, he's now in this isolated, lonely place called Luz. The sun sets upon his life. He closes his eyes in sorrow and in pain. He's overwhelmed. It's overbearing for him. But in the middle of his most difficult trial, God walked into his life. And the thing that's incredible about this is what God showed Jacob that day is that, Jacob, you are bigger than your problems. Now listen, I don't mean that just in the essence that you have the ability to overcome your problems. I'm talking about who Jacob was. He was bigger than any circumstance that was in his life. He was bigger than any adversary or any devil that would ever come against him. Because when God walked into Jacob's life in a dream, he said, Jacob, I want to tell you about a promise. It's a promise I gave your grandfather. It's a promise I gave your daddy. And now it's a promise I'm going to give you. And Jacob, it's also a promise I'm going to give your children. What I'm trying to show you, Jacob, is that you're bigger to me than anything that will ever come against you. I wish every one of us would somehow get that revelation that you are bigger, you are larger to God than anything you will ever face, anything that will ever come against you. I guess what I'm trying to say is that those things don't mean anything to God. God didn't show up and say, Jacob, I'm sorry that Esau hates you. Jacob, I'm sorry your mama made you lie. Jacob, I'm sorry you're running for your life. No, God showed up and he said, Jacob, I got a promise to tell you. I wish there was three of me. I'd hand the baton off so we could keep going, Fatima. But there's only one and he's getting older every day. I somehow wish we would get the revelation. This is why I'm not going to get to the end, so I'll just tell you the end. This is why Jesse, in the end of this story, the Bible says that Jacob prevailed. You know why? Because Jacob was bigger than Esau. Jacob was bigger than the lie. Jacob was bigger than everything he had done. God had called him out, and the promise had to go on. And God showed up and said, Jacob, through you, through your seed, my promise, it's going to continue. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you everything that you see. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that when God showed up in your life, listen, many of us know this. We know when God found us, we were at our worst. Now, some of y'all, there's not many good sinners left. Bring me my water, buddy. I have to use too much energy to get him get it. Look at your neighbor and say, get Pastor another battery. I can't go anywhere. My wife tells me that all the time. I can't take you anywhere. I always spill stuff on you. Well, I'm going to wheel you straight to the old folks home when we get done here. I'll just pick you up for church. I love you too, baby. When God, with some of us, we can think back. And when God found us, we were a mess. I remember when God found me. Of course, none of us will forget that. My hair was down to the lower part of my back, split down the middle and feathered on the side. I was gorgeous. You hear me? All 120 pounds, darling. That's about all I weighed. But, you know, I was just an old pothead. And I dabbled in some other things, acid and mushroom tea and simple stuff like that. Nothing major, but I was just a jerk. But I thought I had the world by the tail. I thought I had everything in control. One day I laid my head down upon some rocks. Because you see, when you leave your friends and all your little ha 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 ha, all your little laughter and your little jokes and your good time, but when you go home, you lay your head down on rocks. Because you're in a place called Luz and you're all alone. And no matter how many out there call you their friend, they're only your friend as long as you're able to give them a little money or a little drug or a little something. They're really not your friend. You lay your head down. I remember one night I was so stoned. I can remember I was looking at the fan and it started going places and my mind started hallucinating. I saw houses fall and then they got back up and I saw a car come around the corner and it just kept coming like a wiener dog and it just kept coming and coming. I was so messed up. I remember laying down on that bed and I said, "Oh God, don't let me die." You see, my mom taught me about God. I just never served him. And I put my head, I said, oh God, don't let me die. Lord, let me live through the night. Jesus, and I would call on his name. That was my head upon rocks. And one day, God showed up in my life and he stepped in. But you know what? He didn't talk to me about my drug dealing. He didn't talk to me about my sins. He didn't bring up all the horrible things I had done. He just showed up and he said, "Hey, I want to tell you about a promise. I want to tell you about a promise I made 2,000 years ago when I died on a cross and I shed my blood and I made a promise that whoever would call upon my name, I would come to them. And you called for me, son, and here I am. I've come to tell you, you don't have to settle for second best. You don't have to settle for what this world has to give you. You don't have to settle for that. You can get the best God has to give. You can become his firstborn. Jesus has a promise for you." I guess what's kind of important about that, to understand about that, look at your neighbor and tell him, "Water break." Tell them again. Thank you. I think the amazing thing about that is to get the revelation that you're not near as bound as you think you are. God don't show up in your life. I'm going to be kind of rough, sorry. Oh, you hurt yourself, didn't you? You fell. He fell off a ladder right on his backside. But he's not hurt that bad. I told him, I said, "Well, look back there, son. There's plenty of padding." Okay. I'm just kidding. Listen, God don't show up and go, "Brad, I'm trying, Brad. I'm trying to get this cloak of sin off of you, but it's so hard, Brad. I'm having such a tough time of setting you free." I don't think so. God shows up and goes, just shifts it off and throws it out and says, "Come on, buddy. I got a promise for you. I'm going to set you free from every sin. I'm going to loose you from every bondage. We're going to skip right out of the gate of hell. And we're going to worship. And we're going to pray. And we're going to glorify God." It's
Somebody shout, I shall prevail. Shout, I shall prevail. Clap your hands to the Lord. God's good. I wish I had time to preach it all. I wish I had the energy to preach it all. Whew. Excuse me for another moment. Woo. And I even had omega-3 eggs today. I'm going to write that omega-3 chicken. And I'm going to tell that omega-3 chicken there ain't no difference in her eggs and them other eggs except for the price. You see, sometimes I think we look at this all wrong. I think we actually preach our people into bondage. We glorify the power of the devil. We make it seem like, especially maybe to our guests that may be bound with drugs, bound with some type of immorality. There's 9 million categories of that. Bound with nicotine or whatever it may be. And sometimes I think the way we preach it, we make it sound like it's going to be the most difficult thing in the world to break free from. And we almost make it sound like God struggles to loose them. Friend, when God shows up, he don't even name them. I'm not even sure he knows they're there. Probably because when he shows up, they scatter. No, he just shows up, David, and he just says, I heard you call me. I told you I'd come. I got a promise for you. Yeah, I want your left hand, though. Thank you. I got a promise for you because I'm your father. The one that was telling you that he's your father, he's not. No, the devil will never be your father. The things of this world will never be. None of them breathe life into you. Come on, son. I have a promise for you. That's what I love about that story so much with the prodigal son. He comes home and God restores him. The other son shows up griping and complaining. And the father looks at him and says, what? He says, what? I can't even get a... He didn't get all that minion, that little minion guy. What? He looks at the father looks at him and goes, what? Son, all that I have is yours. It's always been yours. All you had to do was ask. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I'm in the church and I'm in bondage, I choose to be in bondage. Because all the Father has, he said, all I got to do is ask. I am his firstborn. I have the birthright, and I'm not going to sell it for a bowl of lentils or anything else that this world has to offer. I like what Jacob did. Jacob showed, well, after 21 years, he's coming back. He hears his brother Esau is coming for him. What does Jacob do? All the things that he acquired over 20 years, thousands of sheep, thousands of goats, hundreds and hundreds of maid servants and men servants, and all the gold and all the fine linen, everything God had made him wealthy. When the enemy was coming, you know what Jacob did? He began to divide up his things. And I love what he did. He sent it back to the enemy where it came from. Follow me with this. He said, go meet my brother Esau. Go meet my brother Esau. Go meet my brother Esau. But when it came to his wives and his children, he gathered them in and he took them on the other side of Jabbok. And he said, come, we'll be safe over here. I'm going to go talk to God. You know what that tells me about Jacob and why his name was changed to Israel? He had a revelation. Some things don't matter and some things do. Brother Pastor Armin, when we are willing to let go of the things that don't matter and hold on to the things that do, a lot of our depression will go. A lot of our anxiety will go. A lot of our fear will go. And God will come into our life and God will change our name and we will prevail over all circumstances. Let's everybody stand to our feet and clap our hands to the Lord. Come on, give him praise for a moment. Send praise up to the Lord. Let's do better. Let him hear you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, little more, little more, little more. Jesus. So look at your neighbor and say, you shall prevail. So here it is. Here it is. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. For a moment. For some, this may be more difficult than others. But for a moment, I want you to stop visualizing your troubles. Stop giving them power. For a moment, I want you to understand something, that you are bigger to God than your troubles. Okay, look at me just for a second. How do you serve God for 21 years, Jacob? 21 years. He didn't only serve him, he was blessed by him. When Jacob left his uncle through his mother, his uncle Laban, when he left his uncle Laban with Leah and Rachel, when he left Laban with Leah, it was 21 years later, and he had 11 children. 10 by Leah, and one of them by Rachel. The other guy comes later. So he's leaving. 20 years of blessings. 20 years of in the church. I'm not mocking. I do this. Loving the Lord. I'm going to learn how Brother Powell does it. And one of these days, we're going to do it together. And 20 years of being blessed. Watch me. This is going to hurt some of you. But it'll help you too. 20 years of being in the presence of God. 20 years of experiencing his power. 20 years of being kept and, and helped and strengthened and made prosperous. Wonders of God. 20 years. And one of his servants comes back and says, "Hey, remember Esau? He's coming for you. And he's got 400 bad men with him." And the Bible lets us know that fear gripped the heart of Jacob. And it paralyzed him. After 20 years of living for God, he still had things in him God was trying to get out. The other side of that coin is after 20 years of living for God, Jacob had held on to some things and he wouldn't let God have them. Because sometimes it's the only crutch we've got, Brother Williamson. We walk on it while we live for God. We learn to lean on the pain. We lean on the rejection. We lean on it. And we're afraid if that ever comes out from under us, we'll just fall. It's like the only way we get attention. Maybe not from people. Maybe it's the only way we think we get attention from God. Because every other day we bring it back to him. And the Lord says, "Okay, well, no, I didn't. I didn't mean you could have it. I just want to tell you about it." Oh, I'm preaching. That's why you're quiet. I'm preaching. Yeah. Yeah. No, God, you misunderstood me. I didn't come to the altar weeping and crying and calling out to you and begging you to help me to actually give you my problem. No. We've been together a long time. Nobody knows me like him. And I know him better than anything. I'll be back next week. Huh? 20 years. Don't you think Jacob came before God? He knew the day. God promised him, "I will return you to your land. I will bring you back." Jacob knew the day was coming. He was coming back. You know, more than once, probably hundreds of thousands of times, he came before God. "What about Esau? What about Esau? What about Esau?" But when God showed up in Jacob's life, he never mentioned Esau. He just reminded him about the promise. Because you and the promise are bigger than anything that you're facing. So why, I'm actually closing, this is it. So what is important about that? Because that tells me that no matter what is going on in my life, it cannot keep me from God. That no matter what the devil's trying to do, no matter how he's tormented me, no matter what the sickness is, no matter what the financial situation is, no matter what the marriage problem is, no matter what the child relationship trouble is, it cannot keep me from the promises of God. And if I'll take them and lay them at his feet, then friend, I'm telling you, God's promise and me are greater than anything else that's in my life. So I guess what I'm asking you today is, are you tired of secondhand blessings? Are you tired of someone telling you that this situation in your life will keep you from God? That because of what you're fighting, and what you're facing, you cannot get into the promises of God. I'm here to tell you that if you'll bring them to this office, down to this altar, what you will find out when God shows up. Where's my trouble? Where my dirt is? I lost my trouble. When God shows up, and here you are next to your problem, and God, come here, Brother Sapp, come here, stand next to your problem. You're right there. When God comes and you call, and you're here, and you want everything God's got for you, and God walks up, you're not even going to notice. He's just going to kick it out of the way. He's not even going to talk about that situation, because He's greater than that situation. He's greater than your sickness. He's greater than your trouble. He's greater than your pain. He's greater than your heartache. He's greater than your sadness. He's greater than your depression. The promise is greater, and so are you. And God's just going to show up, and He's going to take you in, and He'll give you the power to overcome anything and everything that you might be facing. Listen, there's some of us here today. You've been told all your life. I know I was. I was told all my life, you can't get the Holy Ghost. That was for them back then. It wasn't until I was 16, I'm right at 17 years old, that I walked into a service, something similar to this. And they believed in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I still have my long, beautiful hair. I remember sitting in that chair. I'd never been in anything like it. Every service I'd ever gone to all of my life, just secondhand blessings. They never let me be the firstborn. I was just secondborn. They told me you couldn't feel God. God doesn't heal. And you don't get the Holy Ghost. You just have to live by faith. And that's true. But I'm going to tell you, God does a lot of things for you. And here I am sitting, feeling the power of God. There was no condemnation in that room. There was conviction. And there was a drawing. God never talked about all the horrible things I had done and was still doing. He just grabbed me by my heart. And I made my way down to the altar. I'd never heard anybody talk in tongues. I didn't really know what tongues was. I made my way down to that altar. People were standing around me. I was in a daze, and this man stepped in front of me, and he said, if you'll lift your hands, and that's all I heard. I just lifted my hands, and I opened my mouth, and out of my mouth came the most beautiful language I had ever heard. I didn't even know what I had received, but God did. I remember turning around and going to my mother. She was sitting in her wheelchair, all crippled up. And I went over to Mom. I said, Mom, I just got the Holy Ghost. And tears are coming down her eyes, because she was raised same way I was raised. She taught me that way. It's all she knew. You can't have it. It's not for us. And tears came down her face, and she lifted her little crippled arms. And out of her mouth came a language straight from heaven. And I was no longer Jacob. I was no longer the second born. I was no longer getting the little Lanya app or the little leftovers of God. But He had changed my name. And I was now a prince with God. Power with God, and I had prevailed because His promise and me were greater than anything I had ever done. Any way that I was currently living, He just came into my life and lifted me up and took me home.
to be in the presence of my Father. So I invite you to this altar today. Maybe you're already filled with the Holy Ghost and been living for God for a while, but you know there are still Esau's in your life. And the devil's trying to convince you that you will not prevail. I wanted to get to some areas in this message for my elders. I wanted to tell you, because in the latter days of Jacob, he did more than in the beginning. And I wanted to let you know that God has more for you now than he's ever had for you in your life, if you'll just let him come in and do a new thing in your heart and stir you up all over again and get you moving for him all over again, teaching Bible studies and visiting the sick, making hospital visits and picking up the phone and calling people that were absent and looked around and praying for people that are going through situations and just letting the Lord use you in the way that he can. Oh, Jacob, I'm going to change your name today, and you're going to be a prince with God, and you're going to prevail. You're going to overcome. And if you're here today and you've never received the Holy Ghost, I invite you to come to this altar. It's still early. It's only 5 minutes after one. I invite us to come. Church, will you come? Let's come spend a little time around the altar. Maybe you want to bring a friend with you or someone. Maybe you've been told all your life that the Holy Ghost is not for us today. But the Word is telling you it is. The Word of God says, for whosoever will. The Word of God says, it's for whosoever he shall call. The Word of the Lord tells us that without his Spirit, we're none of his. Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which had not yet been given, because he had not yet been glorified. But now he's glorified. He's poured out the Holy Ghost, and it's for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. You don't have to be satisfied with secondhand blessings, and you don't have to be satisfied with people telling you that you can't have the great things of God. I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. You can have the Holy Ghost today if you'll throw those hands up in the air and just begin to love God. I love you, Jesus. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Be merciful, God. Have mercy upon me. Oh, yes. The Bible says if we'll confess our sins, he's just to forgive us of those sins. He will forgive you. And you'll feel his power. You'll feel his anointing. And he will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how much he loves you. Come on, church, let's begin to call out to him. Maybe some of you got some Esau's in your heart. Maybe a little fear. Maybe something was done to you and you can't get it out of your heart. You can't seem to get forgiveness. You can't seem to get bitterness out of your heart. Why don't you let God bring understanding to you today that you are bigger than what happened to you. The promise, it's bigger than what happened to you. And you shall prevail. You shall prevail. Oh, that's it. Let's call on him. Let's call on him.
His love's like a hurricane.
Let's pray with one another. Let's let this word help us. Let the word help today.
All of a sudden, I am unaware of.
Come on, Jacob. God's here to change your name to Israel. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. You just thought God was done with you. God's not finished with you. God's just beginning your work.
How he loves
the promise is just being fulfilled.